Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. On this week's podcast, I talk to Eleanor Hanna, General Manager of Hanna Hats in Donegal Town, about her 25-year association with the family business. I'll also be speaking to Mark Doherty, Managing Director of Century Cinemas, Backstage Bar and Grill, and Century Play in Letterkenny, about getting his complex up and running again after a second lockdown. Hanna Hats in Donegal Town will be a century in business in 2024. General Manager of the bespoke tweed tailoring company is Eleanor Hanna, who is part of the third generation carrying on the business. Eleanor began by explaining how her late grandfather, David Hanna, cycled from Belfast for an interview at a tailoring business in Donegal Town, from which Hanna Hats was later established.
My grandfather was born in Belfast. He seen a job for a tailor in Donegal Town, and he cycled from Belfast to Donegal and got the job as a tailor in Donegal Town. Sadly, that man passed away, and Granda took over that business. And then in 1964, he seen an opening in the market to make a tweed hat, and that's when Hanna Hats was created.
Okay. It was tailoring was the business initially?
Yes, yeah, that's what he used to make tweed suits with Mr. McDade at the time, back in the 19s. Yeah.
So he was well ahead of himself. He could see well down the road where the market was.
Oh, he did. He seen the market. I think a gentleman came into the shop with a hat on him, and he knew that he could make it. So he probably ripped it apart, made a pattern from it. And that's how his first Hanna hat was created.
It was handed on then to your late father then, Eleanor?
Yeah, my dad took it over then in the late 80s, and it became Hanna Hats then. It was David Hanna and Sons. Dad worked with his brothers, David, Packy and Edward, in the business, and then in the 80s my father took it over.
So when did you get involved, or were you always involved?
I suppose at an early age of probably 15, 16, myself and my sister at the time, we would have taken trips to the States with our dad, up to a company called L.L. Bean, which was a big catalogue company that we used to sell to. My father had macular degeneration, so he was never able to write the orders. So we listened, we learned how he was able to do the orders, get the business, and then we'd write down the orders and what samples was to be made for the companies.
It must have been some experience to go away at that early age with your father on business and seeing the world.
Oh, it was fantastic. There were so many places we went to see and so many people we got to meet. That's part of Hanna Hats as well. It's not that you just make an order. It's you're buying into the family. They were all friends of ours. They would come to Donegal, stay in our house, and vice versa. When we went over, they would look after us as well. So it was a family business, likewise, that we were selling to.
What parts of America were you in, Eleanor?
Mostly New York, Washington, Boston. That's where most of the business was for Hanna Hats at the time. My father would have done trade shows back in the 70s and 80s. At that stage, it was in February when they... when the showcases were, basically it would last for about 2 weeks, hoping for people to come in. And in New York and then back then, you'd have loads of snow, so some of the days you wouldn't get any orders. But he went every year for 11, 12 years, every February, looking for orders for Hanna Hats.
And you were with him?
No, not back then. The trade shows now happen in April. So I'd say about 16 years ago, I started going to the States full time, three times a year, going over to get orders.
So obviously that's a big part of your market, Eleanor.
It is a big part of our market. The United States is good. There's a lot of Irish stores and Scottish stores, and a lot of catalogue companies that we'd sell into to get the bulk orders for the factory floor.
And does it need the personal touch every year going back over and saying, we're here, we need your orders, we're happy to do business?
It does, yeah. Like an email and a phone call isn't the same as meeting the customer and setting up a meeting, and they like to feel the product. I know you can send it in the post, but when you actually go to the effort of meeting them and showing them the product and explaining it and wearing it the way that it should be worn, it explains it a bit better.
It's very much traditional and old-fashioned way of doing business, but it's very effective, obviously, for yourselves.
It is, yeah. Even with our online orders now going out, we try to handwrite a wee note to everybody. And during this COVID now, like some reviews that we got back, it's just, it was lovely to get a little message in the post. So, you know, them wee old-fashioned ways of doing business is a nice way of doing it.
You mentioned COVID. That meant that the way business has being done has changed a lot this year.
in relation to the trade show, no trade show obviously in April this year.
No.
So how has that impacted, and how are things being done differently now by Hannah Hatch?
We always have a big trade show in January in the RDS, run by Enterprise Ireland and the Craft Council, which is fantastic, and it's really needed for Hannah Hats and a lot of companies in Donegal. We would get our bulk orders for the year, and that's where you show your samples to customers that come from all over the world. You're making the samples in February, and then you're shipping them out and getting your orders then throughout the year up to Christmas time. A lot of the orders were cancelled back in March, which was a shock, because a lot of these shops were closed, didn't know when they were reopening. So you were hoping that the half the orders that were cut on the floor and samples that you had already made and were sitting in boxes, you would be able to send them out. But we just had to wait and see what the story was. But yes, the April show was cancelled as well. And all the shows for this year and next year have been cancelled as well.
So you've had a sort of readjust.
Yeah, it was touching base with the customers, letting us know that we were here. Even though our staff were all gone back in March, we eventually got them back to work in June. But that was through emails of contacting customers, letting them know we were here. You know, and we had to wait till we were allowed to get the staff back. And thanks be to God, we got them all back because we've 25 staff here. I think everybody was delighted to get back to work back then, you know, because it was hard on everybody being at home from March. So we have orders, and you know, at the start, we were only doing a few days. We weren't back to full time. And then eventually we had to go back to full time. Even the past 2 weekends, we've been working late Fridays and Saturdays to get the orders ready to go out worldwide, which is fantastic.
You gave me a tour before we come up to the office upstairs here. Is it all hands on deck downstairs here?
There's a... it's very busy at the minute. We close up now next Friday, which is the 18th for Christmas. I think everybody's looking forward to the wee break. And we've got orders now into January, which is fantastic. And then we're into another trade show, which will be our first virtual trade show. So instead of showcasing the RDS in Dublin, it's into a virtual trade show, which I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll give it a go anyway.
What have you done to get ready for that?
Well, it's submitting a lot online and getting ready for virtual. We'll get the samples ready now in January when we come back and have them freshly pressed. And we have to have them ready that, you know, when the video goes live, that we'll be able to show the products to the customers as well.
You launched an updated e-commerce website back in August. How has that worked for you?
Absolutely fantastic. We wouldn't have been able to go full time back to work if we didn't do it. The wholesale side of the business has been a big shock to, you know, I'd say a lot of companies that are doing similar products to Hannah Hats, and we couldn't rely on it. We needed to get our online system up, and we needed to invest a lot of money to make sure that we could get the orders in, to make sure that the staff were busy downstairs.
And when you come back in June, Eleanor, have you stayed at full production since?
No, we went back full production in September. We had 2 weeks break in August as well. So, but come September, we went back full time then.
We're upstairs in the office here, and I'm looking around me, all the products. Can you sort of talk me around what's behind us and what's in front of us here?
Yeah, I suppose it's like a history wall of all the products that we made. From Sherlock Holmes to Deerstalkers to the Walking Hat. And all our styles is named after mountains or lakes or people of Donegal. Well, most of them are. So, like, you know, every hat or cap has got a story behind it, you know.
Have you any idea how many hats have been produced at Hannah Hats?
Well, on average, on a good week, we're making 2,000 caps a week. So there's a lot of Hannah Hats out in this world at the moment.
And they're all individually made and handcrafted, which is something very unique to Donegal and to Ireland.
Oh, it's fantastic. We are trying to get a lot of help with the Made in Ireland. We make everything here. We buy in the material, you know, from McGee's to Kerry Woolamills. We buy in Harris. We buy in English Tweed. We have a selection of different from linen that comes from Northern Ireland. You'd love to get all the tweed from Donegal, but it's just not possible at the minute because we have to do what the customers want as well. But everything's labelled here of what it actually is. So if it's Harris tweed, a Harris label goes on it. And it's made in Donegal, so we've got 100% made in Ireland on the label. And we are up against it with a lot of imported caps coming in and saying designed or crafted, which is, you know, not the true thing behind the cap.
Is it frustrating for you?
Very frustrating. We're trying to get help And I don't know, it's not happening.
Okay. You were part of a Zoom meeting, I think, with Minister Troy recently, involving businesses that are being backed by Enterprise Ireland, discussing exporting strategies and how COVID-19 had impacted. How was that meeting for you?
It was very good to voice what we went through from March to June and how essential it was to get Hannah Hatz back up and running. You know, trying to say essential businesses, this is the time for selling hats and caps. If we didn't get back open and get the staff back open, there'd be very little for us to do. We probably wouldn't be open today. So it was very good to voice our opinion to him and let us know how essential it was for us and what problems we were going through. So it was very good.
Have you always been based where we are at the minute?
Well, there was a tin hut where that little garden is at the front. And then the building where Froig is, that was Hannah Hatz as well. The machines used to be upstairs. And then Hannah Hatz then built this this building here beside the post office.
You talked about the US being your biggest market, but it's not your only market for export, Eleanor.
Oh, no. We sell into Russia and Australia and Japan. There's countries that sometimes pop up on the screen and you think, God, how are we shipping to these countries? It is fantastic, but it's the name and it's the quality and it's the reorders from people that really want a good quality cap.
Because of COVID, and you mentioned this to me earlier, you haven't been able to maybe showcase as much as you can downstairs in the main area. Are you hoping that that'll change again now?
Yeah, we built a room downstairs with lovely windows that you can see into the machinists. No, we would normally have tours that might come on buses over the town, or people that are visiting Donegal, they can come over to the factory. Even if we aren't too busy, they are able to select a tweed and we could have that cap made for them within an hour, or a handbag or a bow tie, whatever they're looking for to be made. So it's a fantastic opportunity for Donegal Town as well that we are here. And we're up a little alleyway. We were called the Hidden Gem in Donegal Town, so it's nice to be even known as that.
There's something very unique and very special about somebody coming in off the street, ordering what they need and seeing it being made in front of them, in front of their own very eyes.
Yeah. Even if somebody doesn't come and buy it, this was the thing. We enjoy people coming up and see that we're here because they're leaving with a story. And as well as that, they might go to a different country and see a Hannah hat and they might pick our cap over somebody else's because they know it's made here.
You mentioned the move online and the importance of moving online. You've managed to crack that challenge,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. We had to increase our prices for online. So much raw material has gone up and it all affects the price of the cost of even cardboard boxes and different stuff to go out. And it's gone very, very well, thanks be to God.
And just going back to your range again, there's a huge range of goods behind us here.
Yeah, we have from ladies' styles to the men's styles to children's caps. And even if somebody comes in and they have a style that they want us to make, if we aren't that busy, we will be able to try it for them.
Have you ever had any unusual order?
Not really. Well, we back in the 90s, I know that when we had the Japanese customers coming to trade shows, they might have a suitcase with them and they'll take out trousers and bags and different products for us to make. There's nothing that we haven't tried to make, but it has to be able to make it with the machines downstairs as well.
Some of your staff are with you quite a long time, Eleanor.
Yeah, Tony is here over 40 years. He was trained by my grandfather, and his wealth and knowledge is fantastic, and we're delighted to still have him here, because there's styles that may have been in fashion back in the 70s or 80s, and he'll be able to say, I think I have a blade for that upstairs. So it's fantastic that he's here and we're able to throw ideas at him and get his knowledge as well.
Being a third generation company, I know it's something that you're very proud about and you're very passionate about.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that we're here. I think it's brilliant that we're still making it here. I love the history behind Hannah Hatz, from my grandfather to my father, and just everything that we've done, all the travelling that we've done to try and get orders and keep busy here in Donegal. It won't be always busy, but we try to be as busy and get as many orders. What next year is going to bring, we don't know, but hopefully we'll be kept busy.
How has business been in Donegal town? I know coming into the Diamond this morning, the two main hotels are closed, but other businesses are up and running. So it's a bit of a mixture of both, isn't it?
I think the County Council did buy local and shop local, which was fantastic. Every little bit of help that we get to support each other is fantastic. Our increase has increased in Ireland, definitely, like the Late Late Toy Show. That was fantastic. Even the show that they did about supporting local and buying Irish. Like, it all helps. The Craft Council have done one too, made local. So as much support as we can get, and we need it from everybody, it's fantastic.
The Buy Donegal Weekend has extended into a Buy Donegal event, and an extremely good initiative by Donegal County Council. Did you notice a bounce after the Buy Donegal Weekend?
When you're getting orders from Donegal Town and you think that UPS is coming and picking it up or on post and they're delivering it when we could, you know, deliver it ourselves, but with COVID it's just not possible. So it is fantastic. It's great to see it. Like, I seen a lot of orders for Donegal, which was fantastic. It's brilliant.
How did you find the first lockdown, Eleanor?
First lockdown, I think back in March, nobody knew what to do. We didn't know what was ahead of us. We tried making PPE gear. It didn't work out. We did get some of the incorrect PPE gear that came from China to sew up legs and arms, and it just wasn't. I was thinking of bringing the staff back to do it, and by the time that we would have something done, they were having more products sent in, so it didn't make sense to do what we were doing. We then started to change a bit of our online to try and see could we send out online orders, and that's what kept us going. Me, my brother John Patrick, and my son Dahi worked hard from March to June, as hard as we could, to get as many orders out, and it did prove good for us, thanks be to God.
What was the one lesson that you took from the lockdown? I'm sure when you reviewed where you were in business.
I suppose, you know, we didn't know what was ahead of us. There was no point stressing over it. But everybody was in the same boat. You know, it didn't matter if we were having a bad day. Everybody else was having a bad day. So it was going to be okay.
And finally, Eleanor, what does 2021 hold for Hannah Hatch?
We are very busy. If we could stay open all of Christmas, we would be making caps every day, which is not possible. Everybody's looking forward to the break. We're into January now. We have our first virtual trade show with the Craft Council and Enterprise Ireland in mid-January, and hopefully that will be successful. I know that St Patrick's Day, a lot of our orders would go for that then in January and February. That's not going to happen. But people will be selling online, and we sell a lot of our caps to online stores that resell them. And shops will reopen, and they will stock, and they'll stock Hannah hats because they want to stock Hannah hats. And we'll have to wait. They'll probably open April time, looking at what stores have advised us. So we'll just be ready for that, get our stocks built up, and have a good fast delivery for them when they do open.
Eleanor Hannah, General Manager of Hannah Hats, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you.
Mark Doherty is Managing Director of Century Cinemas, Backstage and Grill, and Century Play in Letterkenny. While Mark is happy to be up and running again, he says 2020 has been extremely challenging for the hospitality and leisure sectors.
It's been a year I don't think any of us have ever seen before, and hopefully we'll never see again. From a business perspective, I'll say the word, it's been a challenge. Particularly for businesses involved in the hospitality sector and the leisure sector. They've had a really tough year. They've been at the forefront of the shutdown. They've been, you know, shut down first and probably going to be the last to reopen. So it's been a tough year for anyone in those sectors.
I was very struck by a headline in the Donegal News. You spoke to Harry Welch in early October before the start of the second lockdown, and you expressed a genuine concern that you might not open your doors again, Mark.
Yeah, that wasn't a particularly good day. That was the second time we'd sat down with staff and said, sorry folks, we're closed. We don't know when we're going to get reopened again. We don't know if your job's going to be here when we do get opened, and that's not nice. Because these are family. You know, a lot of these people are second or third generation with us. That's a hard thing to do, to say that to people that just, you're gone. Business is one thing, but in a town like Letterkenny, in a place like Donegal, you know everybody. You know their brother. You know their mother. You know their father. You know their Auntie Mary. You know the whole lot. It's not just business. It's personal.
Yeah, big staff numbers too.
Massive staff numbers. At the end of February, we were hitting about 110, and that's a lot of numbers. I think at the minute we're back to about 30, 35, 36 at the minute. So hopefully that'll start to climb over the next number of months as business picks up again. So we're hoping that eventually we'll end up with all those people back again.
How have you found the second reopening after the second lockdown?
Some regards it's been tougher. In other regards it's probably been easier. Tougher, you know, getting out of bed for the second time again, you know, getting yourself motivated to get going again, getting yourself motivated to get the place open again.
How difficult was that, Mark?
It's quite difficult. You know, people say, "Oh, you're open again, just open the door." But it's not. There's been a whole shutdown process that takes 2 or 3 days to do. There's a whole open up process that takes 3 or 4 days. I mean, just the motivation to get up, right, okay, I've got to get out of bed, I've got to get something done here, I've got to push this on, and then I've got to motivate and encourage the whole squad of other people to get them going, because, all right, I'm here, but it's not me anymore, it's all these people here who work this business every day in the week who make this business. So, you know, they're feeling nervous about coming on the front door, so how am I going to make it easier for them to come back into work again? How am I going to do that? How am I going to motivate them to push the business on? So that regard, it's more difficult. The other bit was that people were actually dying to get back. People were fed up with it. They were going, oh, for God's sake, I want to get out of here. I want to get back up. I want to get doing something. So, some of the staff were much more motivated to come back and get in the door and get doing something than they probably were the first time around.
There's an added challenge of ensuring that the cinema experience or the backstage experience or the Century Play as it was before. How challenging is that?
Yeah, there's a challenge on that. There is... Century Play, unfortunately, hasn't opened yet. Cinema's opened, backstage is reopened. But, you know, we've spent a lot of time, Chantelle in particular, spent a lot of time, you know, going through the guidelines and the procedures about what we needed to do. Places open and open safely. You know, we're dealing with members of the public, we're dealing with our customers, so we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can, that when they do trust us to come through our front door, that we're looking after them properly, that we're making sure we're not putting any added risks onto them when they're coming here. So that takes a certain amount of time. You have all the usual, you know, separations and sanitizers, you have all those going on. So, you know, we have to pay close attention to that and make sure we make it as safe and an enjoyable. But they're coming, you know, they're coming for a meal, they're coming to watch a movie, they're coming for a night out, they're coming to relax, they're coming to let their hair down. So we have to make sure we can give them that environment in a safe way. So that's the challenge for that.
You're managing director of the company for over 35 years.
Mm.
Long time for a relatively young man, Mark.
Oh, yeah, I'm only a young fella. I'm only a wee in yet. I'm only a wee. Yeah, a long time. But sure, it's been fun.
How did that come about?
I started working on the Port Road I'll say mid-80s. Let's leave it there, all right? So I started working there. So that was fun. There was only, I think, four of us, was it? There was Beta Collins, Sis McGavian, Tommy Mullen, Patricia McLaughlin, all unfortunately deceased now at this stage, but we used to have some crack. The fun we used to have in that place on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night was just...
If the walls could talk.
Well, if the walls could talk, the stories and some of the carry on that went on up there was great fun. We had good fun.
You expanded and developed on Port Road before relocating here then, 2001.
We did. When I came out, there was two screens. I became involved, there were two screens on the Port Road. And then I think it was sort of around 1991, we went to two screens. Or sorry, we had a third screen, sorry. And then mid-90s, we added the fourth. And then we took the decision fairly quickly after that we needed to look for a new site. So we had a look around and we became aware that there's a retail park being planned down here. So we were able to buy a site off Tony Kelly. And we moved down here in 2001. And then a couple of years after that, we added two extra screens, which brought us up to eight. And then in the last recession, 2011, 2012, there was a Mercedes garage beside us, which unfortunately closed. So again, we were able to purchase that. And a couple of years after that, we opened the Ice Ring. Didn't really work, but hey, that's the way it goes. And then 4 years ago, we opened the restaurant backstage and we opened the play centre. And then 2 years ago, we added in Baida's Corner Bar, which is a wee bit ironic for a lady like Baida, who absolutely detested alcohol, to name a bar after. But she enjoyed the chat, and that's the sort of thing we were trying to do in that place, to sit down and have a chat, and the meeting rooms at the same time.
You don't believe in standing still?
No point. There's no point in standing still. There's always something new. There's always something to be done. There's always new opportunities. There's always other ways where you can try and push yourself on, or push the business on, or, you know, whatever it is. And I don't like to sit still. I like to keep challenging. I always see different things and different opportunities, and might not be able to do them all or pursue them all, but we'd like to keep pushing the business on.
You're a Star Wars fan, and that was one of the main reasons that you fell in love with the silver screen. Talk to me about that and your first job in the cinema.
Yeah, first job was in a place in a cinema in Derry called the Palace. And it used to be there at the bottom of Shipkey Street. There was a great table quiz question about that place, but that's another story. So I started there during the summer holidays. At school, by the way, it was a summer job during the summer holidays, so I'm still only a young fella. And the first film that was on my first day was Star Wars. So that was three shows a day for 4 weeks. And doing what I was doing was an usher. You weren't allowed out of the screen. So I physically watched Star Wars three times a day for 4 weeks.
How much were you paid?
Believe it or not, I think my first pay packet was 10 pence an hour. It was 10 pence an hour was the first payment.
Don't forget your first pay packet.
I thought I was a millionaire. It was great, and I got in cash, which was even better.
That was the start of a whole new journey for you, Mark,
yes.
Wasn't it?
That was a nice place to work. We had good fun, but we just sort of moved on, and then the opportunity came out here, and I just kept going and going and going, and luckily I got the opportunities to keep going, and so far it's gone well, thank God.
Just going back to the decision to relocate to where we are now, mm-hmm. How big a decision was that at the time?
Oh, that was huge. That was one of those decisions at the time. We've a good business going on the Port Road. It's doing quite well. You know, don't rock the boat. Just leave it alone. But it was a massive investment at the time. Absolutely huge. And it was one of those. If it had gone wrong, you know, it was lights out. Thankfully, it went the right way, and then let us move on and do other things. So no, it was a biggie. That was a biggie.
How did you deal with the two lockdowns, and in particular the first lockdown?
First lockdown, and again, I shouldn't say it, and it's not fair, but so many people, you know, were in serious trouble and had a really bad time. First lockdown was great. It was all of a sudden I was at home. That came as a complete shock to Pauline and the two boys, and all of a sudden they were looking at me. We actually got on, and that was pretty good. We actually discovered we actually liked one another, which was pretty good. But you know, I was still working to some extent. You know, I was still doing sort of 9 to 4, whatever it was, and you know, so I was still doing that, and that was quite good that I needed that bit of work. But then, you know, from that time in the evening, we were off, you know, walking around the neighbourhood. We were, you know, fittering in the garden. So it was really good, and it was nice to spend time. Because I hadn't spent time with my family to that extent, and I don't think I ever did. So that was really good, and I really enjoyed that.
What do you do to switch off when you are at full tilt?
I suppose I do three different things. One, I watch rubbish on the telly, complete rubbish. And Pauline will stick her head in the door and going, what rubbish is on now? Would you turn it off, for God's sake? That would be the first thing. Second thing, I love watching films. I still love watching films. Last night I actually watched The Good, The Bad and The Ugly again, you know, with Clint Eastwood. Was that bad? I was looking at it and going, oh God, the lighting's not great there. How bad is that? I thought I was doing that. So enjoy The Good, Bad. Enjoyed that last night. And then myself and Pauline would do quite a lot of walking. We do a lot of walking up through, you know, through Glenveigh, down through Yard, Rathmullen, through the hills of Donegal, so we really enjoy that.
Any idea how many films you've watched over the years?
Not a clue. I wouldn't even like to think about it. You know, at the minute, and I don't get the chance to watch as many as I used to watch, you know, in the last 7 days, I've probably watched maybe, 10 or 12 in the last 7 days? And that's just on downtime, never mind work time, so I wouldn't even like to think about it.
You're on the record, Mark, as not being a fan of the government's suggestion of maybe rolling out cheap loans to get businesses in a better place?
Yeah, I don't agree with it. Well, I didn't think it was the right approach. I just think, you know, most businesses, you know, have their mortgages and their debts, so, you know, they're dealing with that. And then you're going to throw more money at them that they're going to have to find to repay when they're in the process of building back businesses back up again. For me, I think it would have been better, you know, to do either direct grants or to continue and expand the wage subsidy schemes. To me, the wage subsidy schemes were a much better idea. You know, they did two things. They kept allowed us to keep employees on board, which was, you know, which was great. They would keep that connection and keep those employees there. And kept them off the dole and kept, you know, kept that connection going. So to me, that was a much better way of doing it than you know, lending somebody, you know, more money. If somebody's in a hole, why dig it deeper for them? You know, give them that grant aid, give them that wage subsidy support, you know, cut the rates as they did, thankfully, you know, give them those direct subsidies that are going to allow them to stay in business and take a bit of pressure off.
In an overall perspective, how do you feel the government have handled COVID-19 in relation to businesses?
I think in some ways they've done a good job. I think that some of the grant aid support they have done has been very good. We wouldn't have survived without it, let's be honest, we wouldn't. So that's been very helpful. The targeted approach they've done, I think, has been helpful. As I say, we did mention the wage subsidy scheme the cheap loans, which I'm not a big favourer. But you've got to say overall that, you know, the government's response has been fairly good, because they're dealing with situations they've never had to deal with before. There's no book they can pull off the shelf and say, this is what you do. You know, they're excuse the phrase, they're making it up as they go along too. So overall, I've got to say that they've been very good, they've been very active, they've been very proactive in some ways. So no, I can't fault them.
Is there one lesson that COVID-19 and 2020 has taught you, American business?
Oh, I suppose it's taught, reminded me, I suppose, more than anything else. It's the people in the business that are important. You know, this is a business that's been in Letterkenny a long time. It's a family business. You know, we have two and three and four generations who have worked for this company. There's people who have worked for this company that I never knew, but I know their granddaughters or I know their grandsons. It's the people that are important, but not the rest.
There's always a buzz when you come in the door to Century Cinemas. Are you aware of that yourself?
You do. I think that's to some extent probably down to the age profile of the staff in the place. It's all going on well. That's always really impressed me about how well the staff in the cinema have got on. They've always had a bit of crack. There's always been a bit of devilment. The unfortunate thing about that now is I'm discovering I'm becoming more of the old Grinch than I used to be, whereas years ago I used to be in the middle of it. Now I'm sort of going, well, yeah. You know, they always had a bit of crack. They always seemed to enjoy coming into work. They seemed to enjoy one another's company, and they seemed to socialise together as well, and they actually do. So, no, it's the fun. You need a bit of fun in the place.
Finally, what does 2021 hold for Mark Doherty and Century Cinemas?
Well, hopefully we'll get the businesses back. Well, we're never going to get back to where they were, but, you know, hopefully we'll continue to push them on. We'll get them all open and going properly. We'll get Century Play hopefully open in the new year at some point. We'll get the cinema back and going properly, get some of the restrictions lifted as the health advice allows. So we're looking to do that, and we're looking forward to the next stage.
Mark Doherty, Managing Director of Century Cinemas, thanks for joining me on Business Matters.
Cheers, Kieran. Thank you.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Eleanor Hanna and Mark Doherty. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.